Today on Talk About That, John breaks up the band and breaks my heart, and also makes a theological case for dogs in heaven. Meanwhile, my mom calls a parent-teacher meeting. Plus, we chat about Ronald Reagan, the Beatles, and an axe murderer in a brand new segment with facts from This Week in History. Today's episode is sponsored by Results May Vary, my brand new Dry Bar Comedy special. Stream it and get 1 month of Dry Bar Comedy Plus free at drybarcomedy.com using the promo code J-O-N-N-I-E-W.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Do it.
Buckle up, Buttercup. It's another episode of Talk About That. I'm John here with Johnny.
Hello, friends.
You don't get to say buckle up, Buttercup enough. I'm not sure that's really a common expression.
I'm bringing it back. Is that your new... People, who said it first?
I don't know.
You seen that in a movie or something?
I don't know.
Like a rogue cop?
Buckle up, Buttercup.
That's and he just starts blasting.
Speaking of rogue cops, I don't watch. I think it was Chicago PD, maybe. It was just on because I used to have NBC on when I turned the TV back on the next night because I end the night with Fallon a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that Chicago PD guy, it's like it's got to be a fake voice. It's real like. It's almost like the assistant coach in Waterboy.
Yeah.
Bobby Boucher. And we didn't pay that day. Like it's real.
Yeah.
It's very irritating to me. Like, and I'm sorry if it's his voice, and I apologize to the actor. Maybe that's how he is.
What a nerve.
Like, we gotta lock him up. I'm just like, he's the lead guy. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, guys.
Maybe that's a draw. You don't know.
Maybe
it's fascinating. It's like in acting, the key is not to necessarily be good looking, but it's to have a definite look. So you have people like who are really good looking, like George Clooney, and you have people like Steve Buscemi who are memorable. They inhabit a role.
Interesting. Which would we be?
I think we're neither, and that's why we're not famous. Like, we're not ugly enough to be Steve Buscemi interesting. We're just forgettable.
Wow.
Like, we're definitely not good-looking enough to be Clooney.
And I hired you to write my bio. That's... Let me tell you, in paragraph two, John, we really learned why you were
when
so
we said
forgettable.
Well, look, I'm honest and authentic, and that's my job.
Yeah. Authenticity, you know, I'm having that talk with my kid a little bit. Like, you know, I'm telling her, like, hey, when you do something that you don't feel like doing that's still the right thing,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, if the game's going badly and she's the starting setter now, like, hey, if it's going bad, everyone can cheer each other on whenever you're winning. But when adversity strikes.
Oh, man. I'm already getting so inspired.
Come on, guys. When adversity strikes, though, like, it's way harder to go over there and encourage your teammates, and she's doing a great job at it. I was like, but just remember, that may not be for what you're feeling inside to do.
Yeah.
But to do the opposite of what you're feeling when it's the right thing to do is not faking it. It's courage. Like, that's the definition of courage.
Yeah,
is
that's good.
Doing the thing that you don't feel like doing, but you know that you should do.
And you were like, and now go clean your room, please.
Yeah, now get out of my...
I don't know.
Go get daddy a drink from the refrigerator.
You might not feel like it.
Then
but be courageous when you get over there.
I could tell her to do anything now.
You could. She could be like, well, this is how I've been raised.
This is, yeah.
No, you're right, though. That's the thing. We're kind of wrapped up in this Instagram church vibe now of like, do what you feel and live your truth. And like, yeah, some of that gets in the way of like, all right, hold on. Like, I'm not always going to want to do the right thing. What do I do then, Instagram?
Right.
And the answer is, you know, it's like radio silence.
Yeah, there's like that, you know, your truth when it's talking about someone's trauma or experience.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I completely agree. Like, hey, you know, don't let somebody bully you necessarily. Well, no, at all. if you need to share a story, it needs to be right. heard. It needs to, mm-hmm. it needs to have a full hearing. Mm-hmm. That needs to come to light. It's kind of like we talked about Colonial Williamsburg, the black population there. Like, their history has been literally paved over the parking lot.
Yeah.
So there's a moment to say, hey, their truth, their story needs to be heard, and it needs to have a full hearing as a part of the grander story. The flip side is, if you take that down, like, into, and we talked about therapy before, like, when I go to therapy, the goal, even though I have to be honest and explore all of the truth of my childhood or my life or the yeah. things that you know, activate negative things within me.
It's a deep hole, John.
And I'm still there. But finding that out, my goal shouldn't be like just discovering the whole list of people I can blame, because that won't make me any better.
Yeah.
It might have some truth to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they need to be held responsible, or maybe they need those, you know, moments. There's a reckoning or a bringing into light of those things. But at the end of the day, like, I have to be one of the negative people in my own story. I have to be one of those guys that also, yeah. in reactions and other things, that there's no way I did everything right.
Yeah.
And so what am I going to do with that? So I think that's that whole,
yeah.
it's I like can't be true to myself when myself was in the wrong place.
Right. It's like when you're in a pool and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in this pool, but a lot of people have probably peed in this pool. Mm. And then you go, wait a minute, I've peed in this pool. You know what I'm saying? Is that not carry over? Just, is that not exactly what your story said? I was hoping I would have a pretty good corollary.
Like, I can't be mad at them. In all seriousness, to anybody who has any sort of trauma in their life, and I think we all have some level, but some, you know, certainly more severe in childhood. Like, yeah, I mean, I think what I recognize is, in my own life, like, freedom doesn't come through just finding out what was done by others. Freedom comes from me, in addition to that, making peace with that or making boundaries with that or whatever. There's all kinds yeah. of things to do there. People should be held responsible, all those things. But at the end of the day, I also have to deal with myself. Like, I have to deal with my role in other people's.
Yeah.
Like, if you do regen, if you do recovery, you know, you do, again, resentments, harms committed to me, and then harms committed by me, and that's a whole other ball game. Like, there has to be a balance of what harms have I committed. So, and Johnny, my list of harms committed to me.
Yes,
I can't tell you how many times. Like, I just started using.
It's like a greatest hits of Johnny.
It was like, wow.
I'm in there. I'm littered. Yeah. I'm dotted throughout there.
I just started going W instead of writing your whole name. My hand was getting tired.
It's a like, lot. Wow. Weathington's a big name.
Like, so if someone goes back and reads it, they're like, "Who is W?
Who is he who shall not be named? Why?" That feels like longer than Weathington. Like, no, to understand. If you met him, you'd know.
What? Who is Ichabod?
Does Beelzebub have that many E's? This feels excessive.
Oh, my goodness.
I know I'm in your story, John. I know I'm in your... We've wronged each other. That's how friends work. I mean, we've, you know, you hurt each other, you bind each other back up, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you do?
Yeah. I feel like I hurt you more than you hurt me, but I don't know
really?
If that's true. Yeah. I think when I moved away, it hurt you.
Yeah, but you couldn't help that.
I really couldn't.
For those who don't know, John came to college in Knoxville, where I grew up.
Yeah.
That's where we met. I was in my early 20s. John was 18, a fresh-faced young freshman.
Oh, my goodness.
Ruddy. And then we met, became buddies, did a band forever. And then John did the inevitable thing when your band is flailing, and took a job as a youth pastor at a church in his hometown of Nashville, or near Nashville in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. So he moves away, thus ending the band.
That's not true. We played several shows after I left. Here at my church for free.
And more harms done. Let's yeah. keep going down the list. Yet more harms.
So
I don't consider that. I knew that was like the right move for you. It wasn't right. like I was like holding it against you, but it was hard. I missed you.
I didn't go looking for that job. Like, again, I got fired.
Yeah.
And that's a whole story onto itself.
Walmart is very specific about what they want from people, and you just couldn't meet the criteria.
Like, I was just greeting. I mean, like, how yeah. hard could it be?
How hard it can be to say, hey, do you need a cart?
Right. Can I see your receipt? And I went too far.
You did. You had your little Sharpie out. No, it's like a highlighter.
Yeah. Well, when you take down an 80-year-old woman on right. the floor.
They frown on
put
it.
Put her in a full Nelson. Like, and they were like, hey, man.
Yeah. Even a half Nelson is probably...
probably too much.
Like, yeah.
She paid for that orange juice, bro. You read this receipt wrong. And yeah. then after that... And they always freak out when you leave the scene of an accident. It's a whole thing. So, but... No, I got fired from a church. I mean, in church getting... Listen, I don't think you're a youth pastor worth your salt if you've not been fired from a church by a pastor.
I think that's somebody who's been fired would say that.
Yeah.
That feels like you deflecting.
Well,
I got fired. Of course I got fired. I was doing the right thing.
I mean, come on.
Devil must be mad. Devil's messing, God's blessing.
I'm not sure. I think the devil's like, look, even I couldn't pull this off.
Right.
You know, he was like, what happened?
The devil's like, let him go. Let him do whatever he wants. He's
going to be self-destructive.
He's with me.
We don't have to intervene here. John's self-destructing. That's great. No, but that pastor apologized to me.
I know. We've talked about that, where he made amends.
Yeah, he came back 2 years later and cried and said, hey, I really, really made a mistake. Because I never even knew why I got fired. I just told someone said something about me he promised not to tell. It was not a good leadership move. But
no.
But he made it right, man, and I respected him for it. So, and it was
That's
a good
great.
Move for me. And then you came. Would you think you would have come to Nashville if I wouldn't have moved here?
No.
I mean, because that was where your connections were.
Yeah, and I knew I had a little bit of a network of people who were here, a few friends. Yeah, probably not. You know, I really liked this church and felt at home here.
Yeah.
And I kind of there was like a time when I was really burned out what I was doing, running a nonprofit, and that my brother still runs and does such a great job with, but I felt really burned out. And so the idea of just being like, well, we're not going to do this job anymore, but let's hang around.
Right.
It felt like I needed a change of scenery.
Yeah.
And so, which I'm sure that happens to other people sometimes, especially in ministry, where you're like, all right, I'm not a part of this anymore. So I'm just going to hang around and be on the board and watch somebody else run it.
Right.
We felt like we needed a total like escape pod moment.
Yeah.
And so we did. And this felt like a safe landing spot. It was definitely a leap, though, because I never thought I would ever leave Knoxville.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were, yeah, been there your whole life.
And my mother had passed a couple of years before. That's the truth, is that I never would have left if she hadn't passed away.
Yeah.
She died at 62, and so there's no way. We were so connected, and I worked for her ministry there, and it just wouldn't have occurred to me that there was a life outside of that.
She was a precious lady. And here's the crazy part to me, though. Even if you became a comedian, you wouldn't have your stage name because she hated it.
She hated Johnny, and she would not like that I shortened it to W, yeah, for sure.
She'd have been so upset.
I would say she is upset.
Well, yeah, she's watching right now. She's not cheering.
Why do you think I've never made it big as a comedian?
She's like, mm-mm.
She's haunting my career.
I don't think we believe in that. Like, see,
did you just tell me what I believe?
Well, someone needs to. I think what I would have said is she's tapping.
We don't eat mushrooms.
She's tapping, okay? Jesus on the shoulder, like, hey, yeah, hold him back, you know, kind of thing.
All right.
As fine. A spectator.
Yes.
See, but you think that she's intervening, and I just think, Johnny, we need to deal with your
theology.
She's
in the cloud of witnesses, and some of the things that I've caused her to witness, she is not very much loved.
What did she say? I did not give birth to anyone named Johnny.
Yeah.
So you don't need to call him that. It was, yeah, like,
oh,
was
she, like, would have meetings with my friends and tell them. She called my 7th grade teacher.
Oh, wow.
And I had to hear about it the next day from my 7th grade. Your mom called me.
She was calling you Johnny? Or John?
The teacher was calling me John.
Just John.
John. No, I think Johnny too. And so she was like, she found out about it. And then she was like, call them. That's not his name.
See, my name is Jonathan.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole thing. We could have been Jonathan and Jonathan.
In the morning.
In the morning. Your drive time traffic hour.
Q102 FM.
That's the copter. So, I'm sorry. What were you?
That was your...
I was a helicopter. You were a truck.
I was a semi-horn. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah. And then my...
Well, we could have been Jonathan and Jonathan.
But I went to John, even though Jonathan's without an H.
You added letters.
And we added an H when I went to John. I don't know when that happened. And then also,
these things happen.
Some documents say, my mom and I have a lot of talks about it, she laughs about it. Some documents say J O N A T H O N, and some say J O N A T H A N.
See, how do you get through airport? Is there not like a
I spent a lot of my adult life trying to change it all to the A.
Okay.
But like, I still, when I go to the doctor's office, because my medical records from, yeah, you know, go way, way back, I still get O's there sometimes. So
well, that's cool, because,
like,
you can be like, if you have a diagnosis you don't like, you'd be like, that's not me.
I'm sorry, that's Jonathan.
Jonathan has hypertension. I'm all set.
I'm good.
Jonathan has an enlarged thyroid. I'm all good over here. I'm Jonathan.
Do you validate?
Do you mean validote? Sorry.
Yeah, it's but that H is silent, so it's okay that I added it back.
Yeah,
or they added it back again. I don't think I.
Who
did
are
that.
They?
My parents, I guess. Oh, okay. I don't know. Someone we started calling me John and put an H in. I don't know what.
This is why people emancipate right here. This is abuse.
Just to get. Well, I just.
This is part of your trauma.
No,
they added H. They're adding H's and taking away O's.
I like to think that my name is just a part of the sordid odyssey, the adventure of my life, and it's just another. It's another thing that makes me nuanced and unique. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's a really verbose sentence about a dumb name. It's a part of the odyssey. It's in my journey. It's a tapestry of hope and faith.
Oh, goodness.
And or my mom can't spell.
I'm so glad that when we renamed our church that it was past the time in church history where we would have named it something that was not about being a church.
What do you mean? Like Christian Center? Like Worship Center?
Like Tapestry.
Oh, okay. Like Journey.
Or like, yeah. Like,
well, there still is Journey, but Journey Church.
Yeah,
there's
they
church.
Put a church in it.
But some churches just went with like, we're just going to be
right.
Whatever.
The Mosaic.
Right.
Or the, and that's fine. Those are some great churches, but they were started in the time that that was okay. Yeah. If you do it now, I think it confuses people. There was a season when we had dropped, we used to be Life Assembly. We dropped the Assembly.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we weren't sure what to do because it couldn't be Life Church.
Yeah.
Because there's lifechurch.tv and there's other life churches everywhere. And so, like, we had this whole campus where we had, like, other nonprofit stuff and feeding programs going. So on our sign, we made it the Life Campus.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't know we were a church.
Yeah.
Like, what are y'all, funeral home?
Like, is this like a state school?
Is this like where people come for just, like, daily therapy?
Is it a community college / daycare?
Right. Addiction center, you know, something, yeah. You know.
But you're like, right. When you name you, yeah, it's okay to put church in your name. It's all right. But you're right. There was that era of, like in the 90s, it was everything was Christian Center, Worship Center.
Yeah.
You know, Faith Christian Center instead of Faith Christian Church. Faith Christian Center.
Right.
We're the center. And then, but yeah, then it became just like a single word that would have like this weird branding with it.
Right.
I noticed no one ever chose Prism. That'd been a good one because you got all these angles of God's personality.
Yeah.
But it sounds a lot like prison. You know?
It does.
So you could be like, hey, I'm heading over to Prism.
And you're going, what?
For visitation. There's a... You preach on the other side of a glass. They got to pick up the phone to get their side of the sermon.
When you commit to be a volunteer, it's like 3 to 5.
It is. It's 3 to 5. But, like, but with good behavior, you could be out in one and a half.
We'll let you off this team. And yeah, that's great.
Prism. Great.
The kids go out in the courtyard to play, you know.
Somebody got stabbed in the yard today. Like, what in the world?
What? They're kids.
That doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough over there at Prism.
Prism Center. It's a, that does sound like a prison.
Shawshank Community Church.
Is there a community called Shawshank that's in America for real? I wonder. And I wonder what the movie
what they think about. Yeah.
Well, like now you can't ever. It's like we have friends named Katrina, you know, and
you
after
Hurricane Katrina,
it's like they don't. They're like, oh, and that's.
I bet she's chaotic.
It's the first thing that people don't think of when they hear your name now. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of another name like that.
Well, Alexa, we talked a little bit about that.
If
you named your kid Alexa, that's something you could never have foreseen.
Right.
That now when you call your child, devices light up and
it
asks for commands.
Right.
And
Alexa,
your child
clean your room.
Your child does not light up and does not receive commands. Your child.
You'd have to, in some cases, you'd have to change their name or call them something
different.
Just
have to go back. Alex.
Yeah, or something. See, I don't know. I'm going to offend Alex.
Alexa.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, so those devices, and I think that's why they chose Siri, because it was kind of I guess, but maybe that name is common in Indian culture, right? Siri? Siri? I don't know. So, because like Tom Cruise's daughter was Siri, right? But not Siri. But I bet if you said Siri in the right tone, it would pick up, an Apple device would light up or whatever. I don't know.
I'm surprised ours haven't lit up.
Already.
Now.
With people listening to this podcast, their phones and watches are going crazy. We're so sorry, you guys.
How can I help you? You're like, turn off this podcast.
Adjust thermostat to 60 degrees. No! They're screaming, running around the room.
Mute Johnny W.
Yeah, I apologize.
I have found 3 results for muting Johnny W. There's a whole website called MuteJohnnyW.com.
That you started.
Well, I just curated. I didn't actually.
I bought the domain. I'm sitting on it. I think it's going to be worth a lot one day. You're probably right. Okay, so I wanted to slowly roll out a brand new segment. We're not really segment oriented
right.
in this podcast, and that's probably one of the weaknesses and strengths. Some people really like that it's a free form thing.
Right.
Makes it hard to explain to people, though, what we do here. But I had this idea the other day, since we talk about history so much, just inadvertently, because I'm interested by it and you know a lot about it. And sometimes you'll be like, hey, you know, in history, blah, blah, blah. And I go, hey, that's lame. And I make fun of it. Uh-huh. That's kind of our vibe. Uh-huh. I wanted to bring about a new segment where we go and look at what happened this week in history. Mm-hmm. And it's a segment I like to call Talk About Then. Beautiful.
I like
Look
it.
Look at that.
I like
Got
it.
Our own little theme song. August 11th, 1984. U.S. President Ronald Reagan jokingly announces, "My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you that today I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes." He made the joke to radio technicians during a sound check while preparing to give his weekly Saturday radio address on NPR. After hearing about the comment, the Soviet Far East Army was placed on alert. The Soviet Army stayed on alert for 30 minutes. I never knew that happened.
Okay, but it wasn't broadcast.
It was a sound check, but it leaked out somehow.
Oh, that person should have gotten fired. Well, number one, in retrospect, not a wise joke.
No.
Maybe to make.
Yeah. He was known as being a very kind of a silly and very, he was very good at delivering a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember when he ran again in 88 or 84, when he ran in 84, and by then it was like he was going to be 72.
Uh-huh.
And so they were like, is he slipping? Is this an
was
issue?
Was it Mondale?
Mondale was.
Was that 84?
Yes, because he ran against Carter in 80.
Okay.
So Mondale is the other guy, and he said, I'll never forget this speech. He said in one of the debates, he said, age has been brought up as a huge factor in this election. And he goes, and I totally agree, but we should not let my opponent's inexperience and youth detract from his qualifications or whatever. It was just such a funny deflection.
Well, they asked him, hey, there's a lot being made about your age. Mm-hmm. And I watched the clip on this on some history thing. the thing that made it happen, it was so brilliant. And when you knew he won is when Mondale started laughing.
Right. You admit that it's a good zing. Right. You're like, oh, no, this is bad.
Yeah. And then
Reagan, it's like you're admitting he's got a point.
And Reagan picked up his glass of water right afterwards and took a drink. And the guy overdubbing it was like game, set, match. Like right then.
Yeah. When you can make somebody laugh, it shows that they have a point. And it also showed when you can tell a joke, it shows how sharp you are.
Right.
So everything they were trying to say, which is he's slipping, which he later did. I mean, obviously, by the second, third year of it, that second term, he was in full sundowning mode. But to that point, it was like, look at him. He's sharp. He's zinging this guy. That's not something that...
He's totally prepared because knew the question was coming.
They were ready.
If you watch enough West Wing, they prep for everything, Johnny.
Oh, that Reagan. All right, let me see what else we got. So that was something I did not know that story.
Interesting.
And even you didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
Sound check. Listen, we say stuff off air as well.
Uh-huh.
That if it ever made it into the show, we would be canceled. No.
Oh, dear.
What about this one? August 11th, 1966. Beatles member John Lennon apologizes for earlier statements claiming the Beatles were more popular than Jesus and that Christianity would vanish. I never knew the second part. I've heard the famous thing of we're more popular than Jesus. Lennon said, I'm sorry I said it. Really, I never meant it as a lousy anti-religious thing. If I had said television is more popular than Jesus, I might have gotten away with it. Originally, I was pointing out that fact in reference to England, that we meant more to kids than Jesus did or religion at the time. I wasn't knocking it or putting it down. I was just saying as a fact. I'm not saying we're better or greater, just comparing us with Jesus Christ as a person or God as a thing or whatever it is, you know. I just said what I said, and it was wrong. I need to be doing the John Lennon impression. Yeah. I just said what I said, you know, and it was taken wrong. And now it's all this. Sorry, I should have been doing that the whole time.
The whole time.
But anyway, I remember that story. You know, obviously we weren't alive, but I remember the thing was like, the Beatles said they were bigger than Jesus or whatever. But I never knew that he apologized.
Well, the second half of his statement is worse than the first.
Yeah.
I mean, he could get away with the apology if he hadn't said Christianity will vanish.
Yeah. I need to see the whole quote. I need to see the press conference where he said Christianity will vanish. And he was basically saying, like, we're bigger in England.
Right. to the kids.
We're more aware in pop, you know.
Yeah.
That's interesting, right? That's
Well, I just remember that those kinds of statements, and maybe rightfully so. I mean, I'm not taking a side on it. Those kinds of statements in our early childhood development, I mean, were absolutely fodder for what is dangerous and wrong about rock music and those things. Is that, you know, there's this sense of superiority that those secular channels are claiming over religious. I mean, the tension between the secular and the sacred, I mean, is the story of at least Western civilization. I'm not probably well versed enough on, you know, necessarily how it would work in other places. But,
well, yeah, if we're looking at like popularity, relevance versus like,
I said well versed. Sorry, that's not a thing.
You're well versed.
You're well versed. Go ahead.
Anyway, August 11th, 1892. We're going way back.
Oh, wow.
This is your era, John. This is, I feel like, where you shine. Ooh. But I bet you don't know a lot about this.
Probably not.
Lizzie Borden
is
arrested for the murders of her father and stepmother. They had been axed to death in her home a week earlier. She was tried and acquitted of the crime. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. That's the old...
Oh, wow.
Grim, dark.
Yeah, that's like Brothers Grimm stuff. Like, why would you?
Yeah. There's a lot of like weird nursery rhymes that are based on dark things like that, too. So it kind of fits that thing of like, you know, ashes, ashes, we all fall down, ring around the rosies, about the plague, right?
Yeah.
So this kind of fits into that gallows. Yeah. Anyway, you've never heard of Lizzie Borden?
Heard.
The
axe
murderer?
Yeah. You know, I was saying off the air, like, you're all up to speed on, like, murder mystery stuff.
What is that supposed to mean?
You are a sociopath, and I think it's about time we pointed it out. But I know people are fascinated, and
I like trying to figure out why people do what they do. And Lizzie Borden's fascinating to us as a culture, I believe, because so few serial killers are women.
Would you... You Did they call her a serial
killer? Well, she killed more than one person. Maybe serial killer would be like if you kill strangers. I'm not sure exactly what qualifies serial killer.
This feels like a history thing you should teach me on.
Yeah.
Because I don't know this.
Even in murders, like a violent murder, like women, if they kill their husbands, it's usually like they poisoned him. Like, he abused me for years. I started putting arsenic in his coffee until he died. I had to get out. Mm-hmm. Very rarely... And it's not to say it can't happen. And maybe with gender equality moving so far forward, we're going to see more of this because women are taking a larger role in society at large. So they're going to start having some of the same trappings as men. So I don't think it's necessarily a gender thing. It's probably a cultural thing that men have the power, and so they abuse that power. So as women begin accruing more power, maybe there'll be more women violent criminals and violent serial killers. We don't know. But all I'm saying is, historically speaking,
It's a bright future.
It is a bright
future. I appreciate this.
Can't wait for you to catch up with us on murders, women.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. Strive, you know, strive for your dreams. But it is interesting.
You haven't lived till you've killed. Wait.
Wait, hold on. That's not a slogan. That's not a tagline.
Edit all this out.
Anyway, so I'm always fascinated by like what pushes a woman over the age when you think of them as being more docile and genteel or whatever. So, for a woman to be an axe murderer, you just don't think of that. So I think that's why it was so jarring to the culture, especially in the 1890s. My goodness. And it's probably why she was acquitted, because it was like, well, look at her. She couldn't have done this.
They acquitted her with insanity?
I cannot remember. Maybe it was insanity.
Yeah.
My wife would know that. She's screaming at the radio right now.
Yeah.
She's screaming at her iPhone.
It's interesting. I actually have been doing a lot of studying, reading a lot of like newspapers from the 1840s through 1880s.
You know, like a normal person.
Like a person does. And I actually found lots of
female serial
killers.
Violent
crime.
At least.
Yeah. I mean, like things happening. We just kind of assume that whole good old days sort of thing.
Oh, right. That's, yeah.
And you got to remember that like in the 1850s, Tennessee and Nashville even are considered the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't call it that yet. But like, there's articles that say that, like, well, and he moved out west, and they're talking about here,
huh?
Because we hadn't settled everything. Obviously, they're beginning now.
When I moved from Knoxville to here, that's what I told people: I'm moving out west. And I had like a 10-gallon hat. It's,
yeah. When you came with a wagon, I was surprised. I was like, it's a bold move to come down I-40.
It took forever, and the spurs were a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah. Just well, the chaps, I was
just
like,
right.
Shouldn't you wear something under those?
Chaps and nothing else. They're like,
maybe that was good. Howdy. You gave new, you actually made the term chap accurate because you were.
I had chafed, a considerable amount just in that drive over.
Like it was, because those are wooden chairs, wooden seats you're riding
They are.
And Curry had the little rifle and I was like, guys, you've gone too far.
We have. She just embraced the culture of being out here in the good old, the wild,
the
wild
good old
west.
the good old West.
As they say. No, but you're right. So, yeah, so Tennessee was in that thing. I never knew that. So when people said they were going to go explore and go seek fame and fortune, they were talking about Nashville in some cases.
Well, you weren't necessarily.
We didn't have gold, though, John. What were they looking for?
You weren't, well, land. So you weren't into, like, we had a lot of natural resources, and certainly early on, I mean, fur trading.
What happened to those, John?
To what?
Where are all the resources? Because now all we have is like country music. We have a lot of people who sing songs.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Yeah, we became, I don't think we became Music
City. What have you
City.
Done with our resources?
It's, they've been, So, I mean, like the Cumberland River, you got to remember, almost anywhere you see cities of noteworthiness in history,
they're
near a river because you can float into town instead of trying to come over the mountains, you know. So,
dude, that sounds like a country song now.
Float into town.
Float into town. I don't know. I tell you,
it's I mean, James Robertson, I believe, was the first settler in this. Well, first Anglo-American settler.
Okay.
Lots of people lived here,
right?
That came into town. And brought a party of people, John Donaldson. So if you're from this area, you know,
he brought some party people.
Some party people.
Well, your hands up.
They were in his party. Yeah, they would call it that. But like John, if you're familiar with the area, Donaldson Pike and Donaldson is a community down the street in Robertson County.
Okay.
So you know a lot of you'll start recognizing the names. You know, Sumner is a guy around that time, a little later. Demumbrian, you see that name a lot,
right?
In the early 1800s, probably not pronounced that way.
It was pronounced Demon Brewing.
He was a French.
You know,
settler.
It's when you brew up some.
It's a whole thing, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting.
I find it interesting that Demon Brewing is right next to Church Street downtown. It's
right,
like, all right, pick a lane,
guys. Here we go.
And then Broadway. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but you're right between
Church
Demumbrian
Street
and
Demumbrian. The theology of the city was really...
It was really fascinating.
It was all over the place.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. But you're right, though. Yeah, so I did not know that, though. So those are the names of the original settlers. There was a comedian that used to do a bit. I can't remember who it was, but it was about when you go to, like, Montana or some of these places, or North Dakota. I've been in North Dakota in the winter, and it's so intense.
Yeah.
The weather is so unforgiving and intense, but people just are there. And you just think about, like, why did you choose...
Uh-huh.
And the basic gist of the bit was like, that's why it's called settlers. They're not dreamers. They're just like, all right, look, the wagon wheel broke. Let's just settle here.
We're
totally settling for this horrible winter. And then you have a couple of kids. You're like, well, we can't leave now. We've built a shack or whatever.
Yeah.
We've got corn coming in someday. So you just stay.
That's
But you've not like, you know, reached for the stars. You have settled.
You settled.
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. I've never connected those two words. That's great. See, I always get mad when somebody has that angle that I should have seen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have seen that, but I did not, Johnny. Mainly because I'm not a comedian. I'm not even close. You know, did you ever watch, I'm not endorsing it.
I love how we have to do this.
Well,
not a sponsor.
Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've seen the first.
It's pretty.
It's very, you know what? I couldn't get through the first episode. And then we my wife has since like binged it all, and I was on the road, and she goes, I watched them all. She's watched like whatever, 82 seasons. But like the first episode, there's a horse dying, writhing, and he has to like kill the horse. The trailer's overturned or whatever. And I'm like, this is the first scene of the show?
Yeah, it's
a bloody horse
that he has to, you know, put down.
Gosh, I can't do it. So
it's out of the gate, and it's pretty
violent. The horse is out of the gate. Through the gate.
It's pretty violent. It's a pretty violent. It's almost like, I was thinking of it as like, it's like the frontier mob. I mean, it really is.
Right.
It's almost like mob rules or Wild West rules. Like it's mm-hmm. it's martial law almost there, because they end up becoming the sheriffs.
Don't tell me the thing. I want to watch it.
Well, I'm just saying that's sorry,
you always do this.
Well, not just sheriff, but like the what do they call it? Oh, now Laura's screaming at the thing. They're the
ranger, the
livestock bureau or something like that.
Okay.
Like they are armed and bulletproof vests, the whole deal, because it's a whole, you know, cattle
like
rustling is a big deal.
All right.
So they can enforce laws, you know. But there's a spinoff of that show called 1883.
Yes. Is it 1883?
Isn't it?
It's a year, but I can't remember if it was 1883. Okay, maybe so.
There's no way to know. And so that, to answer your question of why they went to Montana,
mm-hmm.
so they weren't planning that. I don't want to tell you that either if you're going to watch it. 1883 is just as good or better than Yellowstone.
Is it a coincidence that that's almost the year that Lizzie Borden killed her parents?
It might be. Yes, it's a coincidence.
Okay.
But they actually, there's reason why they were trying the Western Passage all the way to Oregon.
Yeah.
Or actually, they were going to Colorado maybe and then to Oregon. And again, difficulties along the way caused them to.
Hence the game Oregon Trail, where we all get dysentery and die.
Yep. And so they kind of redirected and settled elsewhere for reasons you'd have to watch the show for.
That's what I would be. I would be a redirector. I wouldn't be a settler.
You just can't.
Yeah. I would just be like, you know what? This doesn't feel.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep moving.
Yeah.
It's like a wagon train. You just keep on wagon training.
Yeah. When you finally settle, it'll be like, we'll call this town Flaky Nevada or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you just like, it took the dude forever to decide.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's like when your dog does that thing, that little dance where they're trying to, they haven't decided to lay down yet. So they just go in a circle.
Mm.
That's me.
Sometimes when they're circling, it's not to lay down.
Oh. Well, my dogs are well-behaved.
Oh, not mine. I'm about to send him off to obedience school.
What?
Yeah, I can't.
Is it too late?
I don't know. We're going to find out. He's got to go. I love him so much.
What is he not doing?
He's marking again.
Oh, no.
And he's confused again. I don't know why. We've done all the right things. He's confused about whether he's...
You don't stick his nose in it and stuff like
that.
No, I don't. That's like, people don't do that
anymore.
There's
no, like, but he doesn't know if he's inside or out. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
I think he knows. He doesn't care.
Oh,
and so I'm not trying to.
This dog is so belligerent.
This, but he'll go and hit the bell to go outside. You open the door
on,
and he'll just stare at you.
I need more information here. You guys have a bell that he's using, and he's still marking.
Yeah, like he'll hit the bell.
He hits the bell, then pees in the house.
He'll go outside, run around in the yard, come back in, and go in the house.
He hits the bell to say, "I'm getting ready to pee on your carpet."
Yeah,
ding 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 ding.
He doesn't care. Now,
beautiful.
It's not all the time, but it's like it's enough.
This feels like you guys are the dogs.
It does. I feel like I'm being trained.
Yeah. He's like, now come clean this up. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, Jeeves.
It is very, if he comes in, he expects a treat.
There used to be a Seinfeld bit about that. It's like, if you were an alien, you land on Earth, and you see one creature making a poop, and the other one picks it up and carries it for him. Who do you assume is in charge?
Master,
right.
Well, he has spots, you know, that his like his favorite spots. But
well, yeah.
Just,
once they hit that smell there, they're going to go back to that.
But I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, man?
Can we put Ace on the phone? Can we get him?
Let's get Ace.
Ace is here. It's like the Maury Povich show. Boo! They're booing him.
But then he's so cute and loving. That's the thing. But but still, there's stuff coming for him. Like he has to grow up, Johnny. Look, everybody has to grow up.
How old is this dog?
3.
That's 21, right?
He should know.
I don't know if that really applies anymore. The whole 7 years.
I wonder about that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, has that changed?
Well, I mean, obviously, because different breeds live longer. Like,
and when you deal with like the maturity level of humans changing, because you know now they say 25 is like the new 18.
Right.
So, like,
would we move that over to the dogs? That correlate
to
the dogs?
What's the proportional adjustment to dogs now? Is like 1 year, like 9? You know what I'm saying? Dude, I bet we could write a study on that.
I was thinking about police dogs the other day. There was a police dog that, like, retired, and then because it was ill, and they had this line of cops who were saying goodbye to the dog.
Yeah.
And it was really emotional. Each each cop was like petting the dog and giving it a moment. And the dog was like waiting at each cop to, and it was very emotional. I'm a dog lover.
Yeah.
And then when the video got over, I couldn't help but think like, this is also great. And also that dog doesn't know he's a cop. You just train him to chase down people who you told were bad guys. And he's just doing what he's told. He doesn't go like, yeah, I'm a hero. He just goes, hey, that guy running with the stolen goods, go chase him down and bite him. And the dog's like, if that's what you want. Like, it is interesting, though, that like we took a creature and made him a cop. But and he doesn't know he's a cop.
I don't know. Dogs seem to possess a sense of, like, it's certainly in a family, they want to be on the team. If that makes sense.
Maybe. But what if the dog's like, hey, I wish I could steal the stuff.
Yeah. He takes the thing out of the
guy. You made me. Yeah, you broke me from a life of crime. I wanted to be that. Now I get to be I'm a narc. Get out of here. I don't want to be a narc.
Well, the telltale sign of this
would
be like cops sometimes flip to the wrong side.
Right.
Have you ever seen a cop dog become a criminal dog?
What? There's your show.
Wow. If that's the case, then we would know they know that they're cops. And it's not just like training and stimulus and all those kinds of things.
A rogue dog cop.
But a rogue dog cop says that he knew what side he was on. What would we call that show, Johnny? I'm setting you up here, bro.
I don't know. This has got to be – it's going to be good. I can't. Next week I'll have it. Well, I'll have a spec script for this next week. This will be ready to go.
This is going
to
be finally –
you're going to collaborate.
You're going to let me write the pilot finally.
Because this could be good. It could be animated. That's the thing. You could make it an animated show.
It'd have to be
animated. About a dog who is – he's being trained as a canine, but he gets in with the wrong crowd. And maybe
– he flips.
He sniffs so much drugs that he's like, you know what? These aren't bad. He starts selling drugs. Turns out I like cocaine.
These aren't bad.
I'm telling you, this could be something. And then another dog has to bring him down.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I don't know.
And the other dog maybe is almost like Batman and Joker a little bit. Maybe the other dog, like this dog's like, look, you don't really, look, we're the same. You just don't know it.
Right.
You know, that's always like the criminal to the heroes things. Like, mm-hmm. Look, man.
Yeah.
The truth is we're the same.
Right.
Just two sides of one coin. You just choose. If you were honest with yourself, you'd see that you're just like me.
This is a very deep dialogue for the two dogs to be having.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with the animated dog. Well, that's the thing. If he made the conscious choice,
they say it
as
they're sniffing each other's butts. There's like all this deep cerebral dialogue happening.
That's great. It'd be a weird. Yeah, you can't do that in human shows.
No. Well, I mean, they have all that technology where they can make the lips move on like a live animal, and they did those movies like Dr. Doolittle or whatever.
Well,
but it's really hard to do.
The Lion King.
We don't have that kind of budget, is what I'm saying.
No, we don't.
Or like, any budget.
Like you,
we don't have a title yet.
Remember when I took like? Look, I've got a few ideas, but I feel like Michael Scott in Something About Pudding.
Right, oh right,
like,
yeah.
I've got a few ideas, and I haven't got to hone them out.
But yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm not going to say, but we did that one time. Take like our logo, which is our faces animated, and then we had the mouths move.
Yes,
and you didn't like it. It worked a little bit, but it was like you couldn't have your eyes blink, but it was weird because it didn't.
Yeah,
and like mine, I'm smiling in the picture, so it was like me. It's like I was real teethy.
Yeah,
talking,
and I look like I had no teeth because I'm just smirking in mine.
Right.
So it looked like this cave of a mouth opening with no teeth.
Yeah.
Just a black hole of a mouth, like I'm a Sarlacc in Star Wars, just devouring Boba Fett. That's what mine looked like.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for that mental image.
Well, we've done animation before, is all I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, it could be done.
And we had dozens of views on that video. So
we did. Thank you to everyone who watched and enjoyed and liked that video.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, so that could happen. So yeah, but you wonder, and that's the thing. I get emotional, but then that side of like, I watch a video like that, like, oh, this dog, oh my gosh, what a moment, and 8 years of service. And then I think like, wait a minute, we told him he's a cop. You don't do that with people. Hey, guess what, John? You're a cop for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
I've decided.
Well,
and I know we're better than dogs. I get it. Dogs are, you know, they're part of, it's our service and whatever, but it's like, what if he doesn't want to be a cop? What if he just wants to lay around all day?
But what if he senses... Well, they don't just pick any dog.
Yeah.
Then here's going against your argument a little bit.
Okay.
They do, like, vet.
Okay.
Johnny Vet.
Yeah.
They like, there's a process. They look for a certain disposition of
there's
a dog.
There's a screening.
How they respond, you know, how they are able to discipline themselves and respond and not suddenly stop and chase the girl dog that walked by or whatever just because, you know, they
What if that girl dog is a criminal, though?
Well, then.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. They double dog dare you at that point, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
They do.
But, you know, they can't just, like, Ace would not pass police training.
No.
Like, he couldn't, he'd be the criminal.
Ace passes his dinner in the living room.
Just Ace is.
And then rings a bell and dares you to say anything about it.
Gosh, man. Yeah.
I'm sorry, John.
I just wish he could understand what I'm saying for just a second. Because there's a lot of profanity.
It's a shame, too. You have a lovely home.
So.
And.
I don't want to act like it's like the whole time. I'm just saying occasionally.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not.
So this train, you've looked into training though. It's going to be expensive. This is.
I don't know. I know
these
some
people. These Caesar Milan people. They're expensive.
Wow. What do you mean by these people?
That's, I mean, dog training people.
Yeah. I have to. I don't know. I've got a number of somebody.
Don't they always say it's you that needs to be trained, not the dog?
Maybe, but I'm going to be.
You're a terrible pack leader.
Look, I want to send them off. Like, remember in the old days, like on Maury Povich, when they would have the misbehaving teenager and they'd bring out the Marine sergeant and he had like this. This ranch.
Scared straight thing.
This ranch for, you know, for troubled teens or whatever, and he just gets in their faces. I want a ranch for troubled dogs. I want to send Ace off, and I want him to, like, to be military drill sergeanted the whole time and come home just, like, a little more scared of his shadow than he is.
Yeah, he's doing, like, 800 sit-ups in a row, crying. Louis Gossett's hovering over him. I got no else to go. I got no other place to go. He's crying. Yeah,
that's exactly what I want. I want that in the equivalent.
He comes back as a broken man.
Well,
you can put the pieces back together.
Yeah. I mean, it's a broken dog, but yes.
Yeah.
Did you remember what we're talking about?
No.
Have you switched over to...
Yeah.
Like, you're just running police academy in your head right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, I'm giving him his... I'm anthropomorphizing your dog. He's a man to me. He's a broken man. He's a 21-year-old man.
He's a boy. I don't care what his age is.
He's a 21-year-old man who soils your living room.
So he can vote now and drink. It doesn't mean he's irresponsible enough. I wouldn't put him behind the wheel of a car.
You let your dog have alcohol. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, if it would calm him down and make him act right, I mean, I'm open to anything.
A little hot toddy before dinner?
He's the one leaving the hot toddies, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a shame.
I don't know, but I do. I want an intervention.
This is an investment, though, is what I'm saying. Is like it's a... You know, you've got to put some money in this. If you want a dog that's well-behaved, it doesn't come naturally, usually. You got to go. Because my dogs just run crazy,
unless
and I just let them do
it. Unless he's born a natural police dog.
Right. Which we don't know if that's... How does that work? Are you born good?
Saying,
are we saying are we born good or bad? Do we have this... It's an age of accountability?
If we remove the spiritual side from this and they're just animals, then maybe they are just born good or bad. Maybe it is nature... Over nurture.
So you're saying that everybody's a good boy and not all dogs go to heaven?
I'm not speaking you know, I've told you my theological take on dogs in heaven, right?
No.
Really?
Have you?
Because, you know, this is actually a question I get asked as a youth pastor a lot.
Okay.
Like, if you know, you don't remember this?
They want to know if Fluffy's going to be with them in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I never was that guy. I never wanted to be that guy. Some kid comes in, you're sitting in a circle, and
you just shoot him down. It's a stupid question.
They're like, my dog died, and they're crying, and you're like, you know, hey, dude, you know, that's not a real problem. I mean, we just don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
So they would ask sometimes, like, what do you think? Like, because some kids really believed dogs went to heaven.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't have – that wasn't an expression to them or something. Like, it was like a legitimate theological belief. So I think that's a bit far to go because I don't think there's a – I'm not saying it's not
true. So you think dogs are in purgatory?
What I'm saying is
– they're in their own limbo.
I think – I'm waiting for it. No. There's got to be a punchline to that. So okay.
If you've ever seen a dog do the limbo, by the way, it's unbelievable.
By the way, I just noticed something.
What?
Look at my college diplomas up above you.
Okay.
And read the name.
Why? What does it say? John. I'm looking at.
What on. Do you? What do you notice?
Jonathan.
It's with an O.
Jonathan Carl Driver.
There you go. Yes, Carl. That's my middle name. Not what everyone expects, usually. They don't expect it. So, yeah.
I'm thinking Theodosia.
Yeah. Jonathan Theodosia Driver.
Esquire.
I think it comes down to our misplaced theology of new creation.
Okay.
I think that we kind of just act like when this ends, we just kind of float around on clouds or – like kids don't want to go to heaven.
Right.
Because the way we make heaven out to be, and you and I growing
up – Right. You got to learn to play the harp.
Well, it was always like we would be in some long – church service.
Yeah.
And the old people were super excited about how long it was going.
Right. This is how it's going to be in heaven.
And we're not yet. My God, we've been singing for an hour. Just imagine we can sing for 10,000 years. And the kids look at each other like, I don't want
to
do
we
that.
We don't get to Kentucky Fried Chicken soon. I'm going to murder someone.
And so like this, we just worship for 1,000 years. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do I have to worship for 1,000 years? So I think like we don't get the idea that there's stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, like the Bible talks about cities, and the Bible talks about even, I mean, I'm not getting deep into this, but the Bible talks about, we don't know what it all means,
mm-hmm.
but there's, you know, an allusion to, not illusion, an allusion to like, hey, like you're going to have a authority even to do things to serve one another. You're going to be placed over one city, and you're going to be doing, like, we're going to help each other and have structure somewhat, because the structure of this world is made by people who are made in the image of God.
Yeah.
So that's why he calls it his kingdom. The reason we started making kingdoms is because even if it's in a false sense or a counterfeit sense or a fallen sense, we still are reproducing what's in our God inherited nature. And so there's
right.
So we just are polluting it. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So
which is where the dogs come in.
Well, I mean, like, if God's going to restore all things,
yeah.
I believe it's a full redemption, a disproportionate redemption. Meaning when you lose something here, and was it C.S. Lewis or Tolkien that said that everything that's sad will be made untrue?
I think I said that.
That was you. and so like this idea of not just like, oh, you'll forget about how bad things were.
Yeah.
Like I think he disproportionately redeems it, like somehow this is the beauty and the miraculous part of heaven is like what was lost now is found,
mm-hmm.
and it is made better than the loss. So like the tragedy,
so Ace won't pee on the floor in heaven.
In heaven,
a better
it'll
Ace.
Be as if it won't be as if Ace never peed, but whatever the equivalent is that makes Ace not. Ace is pee, I don't care anymore.
Right.
Because what Ace is doing now is much better. But the point
everything
is...
Everything wet will become dry.
That's good. That's good. So I always tell kids, like, or like I'll tell Sadie,
yeah.
Here's the deal. When we get to heaven and all things are made new, what if that includes earthly creation? Like, think about this, Johnny. You want to go super deep. What if it wasn't God's intention originally for us to kill animals as our food?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly God had to kill animals to make clothes for Adam and Eve.
Right.
So like from the beginning, creation suffering from the sinful choices of man, right?
Okay.
So like if he's going to redeem all things, what if every animal sacrificed, every animal killed for food, every animal killed in nature by other animals, maybe that wasn't a part of God's original plan for all we, I don't, maybe it was, but maybe it wasn't.
Right.
And what if a part of the new earth and we think about it like God just, he's going to destroy this world. It does not say that. He's going to renovate is a better translation.
Right.
He's going to renovate this world by fire. And he's going to recreate it into what his intentions were. And because his intentions, read what he said when he made the earth the first time. It's really good. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's making very good things and he's going to make them very good again.
So you're saying all those animals are back?
What if they're
And they're
all
just
back?
Looking at you like, I was your hamburger, way to go, pal.
But there's grace now. They've forgiven
Oh, that's right.
You.
They've forgiven me for
that. Yeah. So like, but what if it's all restored? So
yeah.
That's one way to think that dogs go to heaven or whatever. But like
sure.
If the lion lays down with the lamb, those kinds of things, like the rules as we know.
It doesn't say what happens next though. You know,
the lion and the lamb didn't stand up together and walk away. We don't see that. But like, you know, and maybe that's, some of those things could have some sense of figurative language. I'm not sure they're all
right.
Literal interpretations, but I think there are a lot of literal interpretations to be taken
yeah.
from that. But I always say, look, if that's not true, then I'm still with Jesus. And I can just ask him to recreate Brutus if I want to, and he can say yes or no. But I don't see why. What would be the point of saying no? Like, hey, you know what? I love that dog I had 1,000 years ago. Can he come back? Sure. He's God. He could say, you know, or I won't have a desire for that. But either way, there's no reason in my mind to say that dogs can't be in heaven.
Yeah.
There's nothing in Scripture that says dogs won't be in heaven. It doesn't say all dogs go to heaven. I'm just saying, I think that there's a...
That was Disney that said that.
There's a more nuanced,
think,
right?
Or Warner Brothers. I can't remember who.
All dogs go to
Disney
heaven.
Movie?
Is that a Disney movie?
Maybe, I think so.
I know it was animated.
Yeah, it's animated. I can't remember if it was a Disney film. Now, yeah. Some more people are screaming.
Yeah.
More people are upset at that than your theological argument.
The whole, like, creationism, recreationism.
Yeah.
That's the name of my new book, Recreationism.
Recreationism.
Yeah.
And it'd be R-E colon
uh-huh.
creationism.
Wow. And someone will think it's about exercise, like recreational, you know what I'm saying?
Recreationism.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that the word recreation is
could also be recreation?
So when you're when you're resting,
when you're,
renovating, you're rejuvenating, you're recreating yourself a little bit. Guys.
We just got a book deal.
John and Johnny are out. Podcast no more. We're moving straight to the speaking circuit.
We are. We've got that. We've got the rogue cop dog show.
If any of you know anything about the speaking circuit, could you give us a call? Maybe.
There was a guy, I can't remember who had this line. It might have been my buddy Rob. No, it's Paul Aldrich. He goes, I moved to Nashville 5 years ago. He goes, I have written over 25 songs for country artists like Shania Twain and Vince Gill. And people clap. And he goes, and if you could just let them know that I have written these songs, I am desperate for one of them to cut one.
That's awesome.
It's such a funny line.
Yeah.
So that's what we need. We need that. We need that person.
Yeah.
To pitch the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, which show? The dog one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
cop dog and the, you got to have a title first.
We'll figure it out.
We got to come with more than just that. You got to give him more. Have you ever pitched anything before?
Like, no.
No. This is the first time.
We did a pitch today to someone, and we were talking about our show to somebody, and John rambles for 10 minutes. And then they said,
you told me, you said, you take the lead.
I said, you take the lead. And you did. Boy, you were like, enough said. And boy, did you. And so I just lay back, you know, cool as a cucumber, like I always am. And then the guy, John gets done, and I'm waiting for the guy to respond. And he goes, that was a great elevator pitch. And I was just like, whew. And I didn't say it, but I thought, you've never been in an elevator with John because it's hell.
I wish you would have said it, man.
You're like looking at the numbers like, where is my floor? This guy.
Does this building really go to 120?
I'm going to have to buy some Amway products from this person.
You've never been trapped in an elevator with John. Oh, my goodness. And that's why that pitch probably didn't go because had your chance for us
to both be
ourselves together.
I could have intervened.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
No. You could have recreated our careers, and instead you sat there like a bump in a log and let me do all the work.
And listener, we're glad you're on the elevator with us today. Mm. Yeah. We don't know where we're going. It's like the Wonkavator. We could go sideways and upways and downways. We don't know where we're headed.
We don't know where we've been.
No.
Wait.
We know this moment in history because we just read it. But we don't know where we're headed. But we thank you for being a part, and you're in the Wonkavator with us, as it were.
Yeah. And technically, we kind of do know where we've been, and you can also find out where we've been.
That's right. We've been 200 and something episodes deep.
Yeah.
And you can listen to all those archived episodes on talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Also, click on our link trees. Those are there. They're listed there. You can find all our socials and followers there. Find out about John's new books. Building my Instagram back up from when I got hacked a few years ago by the Russians. Not to be weird. Not the Russians, but a Russian.
Okay.
Bot.
Okay, that really, you just downgraded that a lot. It started off with the Russians. And I'm
all
thinking,
I know,
like,
it was like,
Putin's like, Johnny has to
all
be stopped.
It was like the email was like a very Russian-sounding email, so I'm assuming it was a Russian bot.
Wow.
I don't want to generalize.
Right.
But the Russians are out to get me. Anyway, I'm building back the old Instagram following. I'd appreciate if you'd be a part of that. Do that. Follow John. You can find out all his new book projects. And John's speaking places now, which is exciting and new.
Yeah.
And of course, he speaks here at church, but I'm saying, like, he's out and about, just running the circuit, just...
Yeah,
he's got the glasses now. He looks so much smarter.
Oh, my goodness.
So professorial.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see it all, but it's amazing. So I can't tell if you're impressed. But I will say this. I want to say two things. One, I did a message Sunday, and I rarely say these kinds of things. You can go to churchatpleasantgrove.com.
Mm-hmm.
I did a message on how we hear God's voice through grief and trouble. And I just think it's a topic that we really don't talk a lot enough about in the church. And I just think it was one of those things, not because I did it, but there's a lot of things that I'd studied. And I actually read a blessing from a book called To Bless the Space Between Us by John O'Donohue. And it was a blessing about the interim times.
We should link to it in the notes or something.
Yeah, I could add that into the show notes. So you should go check out that. And I'll add a link to the message as well. But also, I'm pretty certain, Johnny, that your next Dry Bar special is about to drop.
It will be out when this episode airs. It will already be out. And you can watch it for free on the Dry Bar Comedy Plus app. That's the only where it is right now. It's streaming on that app. You can get a free month of Dry Bar Comedy Plus with the promo code Johnny W, J-O-N-N-I-E-W. Get a free month. You can watch all the specials, watch my first special, watch a million other great specials on Dry Bar Comedy. All clean, family-friendly comedy. And then you get a free month. And so that's the only way to see my new special. 30 new minutes of great comedy. So that will be out when this episode comes out. You'll get to be one of the first people that watches it.
I'm not going to lie. I saw a clip you put out yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you put it out yet?
It's not out. I just sent it to you. Yeah, to look.
And I know that joke, but the way you delivered it, I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
And I was like, this clip is butter. Like, this clip is
so
going
such
places.
A great crowd in Provo where we shot it. And so I'm very proud of the special, and I want you to go check it out. Get a free month of Dry Bar with the promo code Johnny W.
And if you follow John on Instagram, he'll be tweeting and posting about it.
I'll be posting those as well. But this is a chance to see it before anybody else.
If you're a fan of the show, this is actually really helpful to Johnny. This is a way you could help.
Yeah.
Like right now, man. And we always ask you to leave us a review, 5-star review, all those things. We ask you to go to Amazon, leave the book review. But right now, as this product for Johnny releases on Dry Bar, man, I'm telling you guys, it's hilarious. Go there. Can they leave reviews on Dry Bar?
I don't know, but I know you can leave tips. There's a little tip link. And if you subscribe with that promo code, that helps there's profit sharing. So that helps my kickback. Yeah. So.
And the more views he gets, man, it just is more opportunity to do more comedy.
Oh, the more eyeballs, the more, I don't know,
glasses?
Thank you.
Eye drops?
The more ocular nerves.
There's all kinds. The options are endless.
I had an eye exam yesterday, so I'm feeling myself.
Did
they took
die?
A picture of my eyeball and they showed it to me, and I was like, that's unsettling.
They did that one, like all the way
through the back? Yeah, like, everything looks good. There's a little shadow here, but that's normal. And I was like, okay, whatever,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, no, before they tell you, it's like there's all these, like, see like this red river running through the lake. And look, I know it looks inflamed, but that's normal. You're like, I'm glad you pointed it out because I thought maybe I was developing like supervision or something. I was about to just shoot
lasers.
Well,
it's a little large. You're like, is this to scale? It's very... It's alarming.
Like, can you shrink me down like an interspace and let me go inside my own eyeball? That's the question.
Would that be... That's another show. That's the follow-up to the cop.
Right.
Dog.
The dogs now both get thrown in jail, mm-hmm. and the science experiment...
I got to shrink down and go in.
Oh, yeah.
As like under the guise of it being like a rabies shot or something. It's
right.
A vaccine. I go in and now I get to try to change the dog's trajectory of life.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah.
It's
not a perfect show.
No,
is what we're saying.
No, I'm saying.
This is all just, we're just spitballing here, seeing what sticks to the wall.
That's great. Hey guys, it means a lot. It really, really does that you listen every week. Yeah, send us questions, topics, other things you want to hear us talk about, and we'd love to cover it here because the name of our show is
Talk About That.
Tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.